Welcome to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. I am your host, Delaney Agresta, and I am a weight-inclusive registered dietitian. I started this podcast to help people like you heal their relationship with their bodies and food. Each week, there is a new episode that talks about different topics surrounding eating disorder recovery, diet culture, weight inclusivity, and more. So stay tuned, and thanks for listening. Hello, friends. Welcome back to the All Bodies Nutrition Podcast. This is your host, Eleni, and as always, I am so grateful to have you here with me today. Today is going to be a wild ride. This episode was recorded at the end of last week, and I have on a guest, and we basically break down the recent Washington Post article that basically shits on anti-diet dietitians and wildly misconstrues conclusions, and it's just kind of a mess. And so I just felt that it was important to talk about this article, break it down, explain where it goes wrong and why it goes wrong, and just kind of give an input from two dietitians. So before we get into this episode, I just wanted to go over a few housekeeping items. Number one, there is a trigger warning on this episode. I do place trigger warnings on mostly all of my episodes, which I include in the show notes. But especially this one, be mindful of little listening ears, because we do tend to curse in this episode just because it's so frustrating. And additionally, we talk about things including intentional weight loss, disordered and eating disordered behaviors that people may engage in, and things along those lines. So I wanted to just put that out there. Number two, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider giving me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you're listening to this podcast. It really helps me and my small business grow. And of course, the goal is to always have more people see this podcast, hear this podcast. And so I really appreciate your continued support. And lastly, I am still accepting applications for patients for spring and summer. If you are interested in working with me one-on-one, you can apply through the link in my show notes. If you have any questions, you can send me an email, which is also listed in the show notes and on Instagram. And so if you are looking for assistance in terms of disordered eating, eating disorders, or just general nutrition counseling, I am available for all of those potential options. And I did receive a few emails asking about if you were interested in working with me for like general nutrition, weight inclusive counseling, how come the application is geared more towards eating disorders? And that is because I'm just trying to screen for those patients, because sometimes people come to me and they're like, hey, I want to work with you one-on-one. But they don't recognize that they are already struggling with an eating disorder or disordered eating behaviors. And before we can address gentle nutrition and weight inclusive counseling, we have to kind of deal with that first. So I just wanted to put that out there. So now let's get into introducing our guest for the episode. And so today's guest is Laura from Nourish Others. Her and I have been kind of like Insta friends for a while now, and I was so excited to finally connect with her, to have her on the podcast. We actually recorded another episode, which will be going live in a few weeks, focusing more on her business of travel and helping patients kind of navigate the anti-diet space in terms of traveling. But she was so kind to agree to discuss this article from her standpoint as well. So I'm really excited for this episode. As always, Laura's social media handles will be listed in the show notes, so you can go and give her a follow. And now let's get into the episode. Laura, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Thank you so much, Eleni. I really appreciate it. I had so much fun recording the episode right before this and having a good time. So thank you for having me back for this new topic.
Of course. You know what? I might actually flip the two episodes, because so we're going to talk about this new article from the Washington Post that recently came out earlier this month. And I sometimes like to include like current events in like the podcast. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts. And obviously it's going to be if I'm coming on here to complain, it's going to be a criticism. But really quick, just give the listeners a little bit about you, and then like, you know, your social media handle and stuff like that.
Cool. Yeah. My name is Laura Guida. I'm a registered dietitian. My company is called Nourish Others, so www.nourishothers.com, and then handle at Nourish Others for my Instagram. And I primarily work with eating disorders, adolescents and adults, disordered eating, and I'm actually looking at providing a little bit more details for traveling and inclusive care too.
Oh, cool.
So I am excited, and I hope everyone thinks it's as cool as I did.
I
Well, are
do.
you and I?
I
Okay, cool.
so we have a whole episode talking about that. So guys, definitely stay tuned for that episode. But if you guys aren't aware, which like maybe most people who aren't in the nutrition world may not have heard about this. I mean, I don't know how many people read the food section of the Washington Post.
I do
Me,
not.
not so much, but
Yeah.
same goes for you. So they wrote an article titled, open quote, "As obesity rises, big food and dietitians push anti-diet advice," close parentheses. It then goes on to say, "General Mills warns of food shaming. Dietitian influencers promote junk foods and discourage weight loss efforts."
No.
And it's written
Okay.
by these four people. I don't think any of them is a dietitian, no. And I think one of the big issues that I have with a lot of times these people who are coming on to criticize the quote unquote anti-diet movement, they are not getting like actual credentialed people who work in this space to kind of explain things. And I picked out a couple of sentences that we'll discuss.
Yeah.
But I just think lately, like I did a whole episode on the Oprah weight loss special medication.
Oh.
And the reason why I did it was because a lot of people, if you're listening to this podcast and you're someone who is struggling with their relationship with food and eating disorder, disordered eating, or their body, like I don't recommend watching it because it literally felt like a Jenny Craig commercial where they're showing before and after pictures and they're playing the sad music when they're showing pictures of the person when they lived in their larger size body. And it was just a whole fat phobic, weight biased situation. And I don't think that it was helpful. And one of my gripes that I mentioned in the episode was that they paint such a negative picture about people who live in larger size bodies, and they make them sound like they make us sound like we're all the same. And there's specific quotations in this article that I'm like, it really just didn't sit well with me. And so I don't know, Laura, if you heard about the episode with the weight loss medication or.
So I have heard about it. I will say I haven't seen it because honestly, I haven't been watching TV very much too.
Same. It's on Disney
Yeah.
Plus. You know, the children's.
No.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh my God. This is giving
It's
me
not
flashbacks
funny.
to when it's not funny. No, it's not funny. But it's giving me flashbacks to when I heard like Weight Watchers was starting to like kind of advertise towards teenagers. And I was like, oh my God, where are we going right now? What is happening here? We're gonna just like shame a whole another generation going on too, right? Like how we were exposed to like Weight Watchers when we were younger. It's going to be like a whole nother slew of things going on in this field.
Terrifying.
It's so terrifying. And I think to myself too about like this like article, and like I kind of just picked out a couple like words that you had said too, because I also haven't read the article, out of full transparency going on here too. So
I came up with this literally like a half hour before we were starting to record. I want you to go into your notes, but I just want to kind of
yeah.
recap what the beginning, how they open this article.
Let's do it.
And so they interview this woman. I don't know why they're basing this whole article off of this one woman's experience, but anyone who knows how to evaluate scientific literature and research knows that you cannot generalize one person's experience for the entire population. So that's my number one,
That is not qualitative data, or
Correct.
That is not quantitative
It's
data.
neither of the above.
It's and both all of the scientific method goes all over either one of those two. So we don't have
Exactly.
enough data points to work with already.
So they say this woman's name, Miss So-and-so, struggled to lose weight for years, but she felt as if a burden had lifted when she discovered YouTube influencers advocating health at every size, urging her to stop dieting and start listening to her mental hunger. She then goes on to say that she basically, and I quote, "They made me feel like I was safe eating whatever the hell I wanted," close quote. And then in 2 months, she regained 50 pounds. As her weight neared 300 pounds, she began to worry about her health. And so, do you have any opening thoughts to this?
I have many thoughts. I think that this idea of like mental hunger, like what is that,
I don't know what
right?
that
Like what
means.
are we
What
doing
is
here?
mental?
Yeah. What is mental hunger? Like physical hunger, like because whenever I'm talking to my clients too, we're kind of distinguishing the difference between physical hunger and emotional hunger going on too. So whenever you're saying like, whenever the article is saying like, hey, let's just listen to our mental hunger going on here too. Like, are we speaking from an emotional side going on here too? Because that definitely resonated with me with that experience of hearing that too. And kind of like, you know, as a non-diet, anti-diet dietitian too, I'm kind of thinking about it in the sense of like, well, sometimes our like emotionally, we could be like craving something very strongly too. But then physically, our body is saying like, I'm actually very, very full right now too. So like we're looking at like that's are we using food to cope? Like are we using food as a coping mechanism here too? Like because if that sounds like this woman could be struggling a little bit more than what the article is understanding what her struggle
I
is
mean,
too.
100%. And I think, the first red flag about the validity of the argument that they're starting this article off with is that this person discovered YouTube influencers advocating health at every size. And then they continue by saying, urging her to stop dieting, start listening to her quote unquote mental hunger. And so I have spoken about the health at every size framework on this podcast many times. Nowhere in any of the framework, which I have a whole episode reading the framework and breaking it down because I feel like
Love
everyone
it.
shits on health at every size. And I'm like, does anyone actually look up what it says on the website? Because it doesn't say anything about stopping dieting or listening to mental hunger. So already I'm like, whoever wrote this article, did you not look up what that meant?
They don't know what they're talking
Well,
about.
obviously. And then, we go into this person basically saying that she thought she was quote unquote safe eating whatever the hell I wanted and cites foods like cupcakes and Nutella, which I'm sure Laura agrees with me. Like, there's nothing wrong with eating Nutella or cupcakes, but it sounds like this woman must have been heavily restricting before this. And then to have a weight gain of 50 pounds in 2 months, I would be very concerned as a healthcare provider. I would definitely recommend someone seek medical attention because that is definitely concerning. And so as like weight inclusive dietitians, we care about any sudden change that is that drastic. We're not talking about, oh, I gained 10 pounds in 2 months. We're talking about like a significant amount of weight here.
And I think it's so problematic for us also too to kind of be like, well, we don't know where this woman started too, right? Like, I'm not discounting that in 2 months, 50 pounds is like that is something that we should look at, right? Like and dive deep in understanding. But at the same time too, like, where did this woman kind of start? Was she very restrictive beforehand? And that was, you know, like where we're
That
at
is a
too,
valid point.
like and like I just like think to myself about like the Nutella and cupcake idea too. Is that like I love Nutella, right?
It's
Like,
like
you
pretty
know,
good, you know. Now,
it's delicious.
if it's like a Nutella cupcake, I think that would be great.
That sounds amazing. But I think it's that zone of like how we're only really getting like two different macronutrients with that too, right?
Yeah.
Like two majors. So I'm thinking about it in the sense of like if we're just eating that, or if we're eating that in conjunction with like, are we eating that with other food groups? Like, are we eating that
Yeah.
past that point of fullness going on too, to where like that
Yeah.
mental hunger is taking over? And also, is this person working with a dietitian, or did they just look at an influencer
They
on
literally, I mean, they haven't
YouTube?
specified, but they said she discovered YouTube influencers. So again, like I think that's also a really important part of like not getting you shouldn't
Yeah.
get any sort of medical or health advice off of social media. But if you are, at least it should be from people who are credentialed that know what they're talking about. And very, it, I'm not discounting that she may not have gained 50 pounds in 2 months. I
Yeah.
just think that, like, if she was severely, severely restricting her intake beforehand, it could very well likely be that her body was at such a deficit in terms of energy balance that she gained the weight. But I think my biggest, I mean, I have so many issues with it, but I think the focus of equating not dieting, health at every size equals 50-pound weight gain, and now this woman is 300 pounds or over 300 pounds or whatever. It's just like screaming fat phobia.
Yeah, agreed. And I think that's like the issue here too, because like you were saying with like the framework of, and like my neck is hurting so much because I'm like shaking my
Yeah,
head,
me too. I'm
right?
like,
I'm like, yes.
have a
And
concussion over here.
but I think it's like it's so problematic how we're approaching health at every size too, which I know
Yeah,
that's trademarked. I get
it
it.
is.
So we're kind of just looking at it from the standpoint of like their framework, right? Of like how they're not saying like, just eat whatever mental hunger you want to
They don't
eat
even use
too,
the words
right?
mental hunger.
No, they don't. They don't. And so it's kind of that zone of like they care about kind of like making sure that you're having a good dynamic and a good relationship with food too. And they're caring about like how your experience is on a day-to-day too, right? So it's that zone of like this article just has it, to be honest, it feels like lazy research going on from this. It feels like they like took something. They heard the trigger words, right? Health at every
Yep.
size, which everyone already doesn't understand, right? And then they're like, okay, so health at every size, like that means that we're healthy, like
No matter.
regardless of whatever is
Yep.
going on, right? And
I'll
that's just
let we'll
not
get
what's
into that because they talk about that as well. So
great.
now we head on further into the article where they're basically saying they're making the insinuation. Is that a word, insinuation?
Insinuating.
They're
Maybe. I don't.
insinuating.
Yeah,
Maybe I'm making
maybe.
up my own words. I don't
Or
know.
maybe that is a word. I'm not good with
No, I
words.
don't know. Maybe. They're insinuating that big companies like General Mills that make Cocoa Puffs, Lucky Charms, can you imagine, are basically like paying dietitians to like promote their products. And you know, they're using hashtags that coincide with like not food shaming people. So like they said, it has showered giveaways on registered dietitians who promote its cereals online with the hashtag derail the shame and sponsored influencers who promote its sugary snacks.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
You
Let's talk
imagine? This
about
is
sugar.
amazing. Like General Mills owns everything.
So I also feel like what's wrong with like if you saw a dietitian like promoting
A cereal.
lemons,
Yeah.
right? Like, yeah, like is that a problem, right?
There are
Like,
I mean, and here's the thing, you know, and then they're showing a picture from FNC, the Food and Nutrition
oh
Conference,
yeah.
and they're showing like dietitians taking pictures in giant bowls of cereal.
Oh my gosh. Well, how fun does that look? Like it's like a slide and
Yeah,
like
the
all of
only thing
that.
that
Like
I've never been to a FNC, but
I
the
have.
one where they had like the cranberries, and then you can actually put on the overalls and stand in the water with the cranberries. I
That's
was
so
kind of
fun.
having FOMO about that.
Oh my gosh. This article I think was written also, yeah, like cranberry, it's so fun. I remember like whenever I went to Fancy, that they had like Chobani yogurt was like one of the
They
sponsor, and I got yogurt
have
every
Siggy's, the
day.
yogurt that
Oh
I
my God.
love. They have everything. They have the granola. They have all the things. And
All
like,
the things.
I think it's just like, trying to shame this anti-diet space. And like,
Yeah.
no one is saying like you should be eating Cocoa Puffs all day long. Now, listen, if
No.
you want to eat Cocoa Puffs all day long, that's your decision, not mine.
Yeah.
What I think eventually you would might need to eat other stuff too, probably. But again, that's a you journey situation. That's not for me to dictate what you should and shouldn't have. And I
Yeah.
think, one of the things I personally have never had a sponsored anything ever, and I get like emails all the time from supplement companies, from diet companies, weight loss companies, all these things. I don't even answer them. Like, I just
Yeah.
don't even respond because I don't think that it is appropriate for me to do so. But I think, there's a lot of dietitians that make content and they're cooking meals and they're showing different ingredients. And like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that because ultimately, like, we provide so much free info on social media.
Yeah.
No one pays us for that. And so, like, if I want to make like a breakfast burrito with a tortilla and the company wants to pay me, $300 to make this post, like,
You should get more than $300 for
it's but again,
that.
as
Yeah,
you can see, I have
I
no
know.
idea what anything is. And that's because I'm a horrible businesswoman. Like, I don't
I
monetize
know.
this podcast. But I think the fact that they're painting these dietitians as like money hungry, like evil people who are shoving sugar down your throat, it's just like, no one became a dietitian because they wanted to make a lot of money.
No one. Yeah,
We were
that's not why we
literally
got
talking about
into
this.
this. Yeah, before. Yeah, we were. We totally were. I've spent 2 hours with Olivia at this point.
Yeah, we're moving in together.
This is where rumors start.
Yeah.
But I think you're so right. And it's also like kind of going back to the Cocoa Pebbles experience too, right? It's like demonizing food in a different way. Like
Yeah.
nobody's getting angry at the dietitian that's promoting the lemons, right? But everyone's getting angry at the
Yeah.
dietitian that's promoting General Mills going on too. Like I
Yeah.
just don't, it just like is another way to kind of label as like dietitians don't know what they're doing. Look, they're so confusing, kind of a thing too. And that is so shitty, right? Like I got a degree for this, you know, like it's so shit.
I mean, a
Like,
lot of people don't know what dietitians do, and
yeah.
It's unfortunate because like we have a lot of education, and now to become a registered dietitian to practice, you have to get your master's degree,
Insane requirement.
which is insane when like the average salary is like $60,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
Like
I'm
living
thinking about it
that,
too. Like, that it's.
that
I
must
think
be
it's
the,
lower than that,
yeah,
to
it
be honest.
probably
I think
is.
it's like 55. I don't think it's like much lower than that, but you
So you
know,
need
inflation,
like a
weirdness, all that
year
stuff.
of a dietetic internship, which you pay for.
Yeah.
They did not have any, I mean, in New York, they did not have any scholarships for dietetic internships, and you work for free 40 plus hours a week.
Yeah, I remember that life. I
It
had
was so
I
fun working every
had
single day because I had to make money, so I would work weekends.
I remember getting called free help, like people getting sent home. Yeah, I remember that. Like I was at a hospital, I was working a tray line, quote unquote, working it. I was supposed to be like supervising it, but I was really just working it. And they sent home two workers because me and the other intern were there. Right? Right? You
Oh
can't see it
my
right now, but Eleni's
God.
mouth is completely open.
That
But
is fucking insane.
it was bananas. And
No,
I'm
but it's.
thinking myself, like, so you're gonna like down on me because I'm going with General Mills for a second too, because and General Mills, like good for them for some things, right? Like, you
Yeah.
know, not good for them maybe from environmental factors going on too, but I mean like good for them for like fortifying cereal. You know, like
Talk
that's
about
a
something
reason
about,
why like folic
let's
acid
talk
is
about
like
spina bifida.
yeah, let's do it. Let's talk about it. No, I'm just kidding. Like, yeah. So that's like the zone of like what I'm saying is that like, you know, they they like fortified their cereals to kind of help the general public too. So like to kind of be like anti-cereal company, like who,
they were
what? They did this
noticing
great thing.
like public health trends where women were, where people were not getting enough folic acid. So they literally fortified breakfast cereals and products because people were eating them. And now you don't really hear about people having spina bifida in this country, you know, other countries maybe, but you know, and I think it's just at the end of the day, the progression of the article of like first, not even this one individual, this woman, not even working with a dietitian, so that's number one. But now you're equating, now you're lumping in dietitians with something at the beginning of this article, which is perceived as negative, when that woman had nothing to do with a dietitian. So I don't see what the two have. They're just shitting on it and they're lumping everything together.
Such a good point, too. It's that zone of like, why did anti-dietitians get roped into this? Like, maybe the YouTuber was a dietitian,
I think
maybe,
they
but we don't
weren't.
even know.
They didn't even list who it was, which again is a problem.
Yeah.
But saying, like, in general, YouTube influencers, who are these people?
You could say anything on the internet. I could say 2 + 2 = 7 on the
It
internet.
does.
This is also where rumors start. Like, but I think this is the zone of like it, equating something like an anti-diet dietitian, right? Like, or anti-diet anything in general to something that we don't actually have all the information for is so
It's
problematic, right?
harmful.
It's harmful.
It
That's a good
really
word for
is.
it.
And it's again shitting on people who work really, really hard to do what we do. And listen, there are dietitians out there who don't have the same weight inclusive approach as I do, but they're still dietitians and I still respect what they do. Now, is that every single person? No. You know, if you're a dietitian and you're telling people to bring Swerve sweetener on your vacation so you can make skinny margaritas so you could stay on track while you're on vacation, I
What?
forgot.
That feels very specific,
Oh, it
and we should
is.
unpack that at one point. We should unpack that because that's,
But like, you know, so dietitians do harm, but I think in general, we do not get the recognition and respect that we deserve, right? Because you see people on social media who are quote unquote nutritionists or nutrition coaches, which have like a made up online certification. And so being lumped in with people as if we are uneducated, I think is really harmful. And so the article goes on to say, online dietitians, many of them backed by food makers, are also building lucrative followings by co-opting anti-diet messages with hashtag no bad foods, food freedom, and ditch the diet. And then they're saying the Washington, the Post on the Examination analyzed more than 6,000 social media posts by 68 registered dietitians, none of which have been who they are. And they showed that roughly 40% of these influencers. So, okay, let me just say this. So they're saying so they looked at 6,000 posts by 68 registered dietitians, right? And then they go on to say roughly 40% of these influencers repeatedly use anti-diet language, which is fine, but you're saying 40%, like that's like thousands of dietitians. That's less than half of 68, which by my standards.
I was like, let's talk about the population size. Whenever we're thinking about something in a good study, too, like how we were talking about qualitative versus quantitative going on, too, that does not go into either one of those categories as like enough of a significant statistical value for me going on, too. And also, like, they're talking about anti-diet messages, but like, did you look at the messages and see like what they're talking about within that, too? Because like, and anti-diet, like you and I just talked on the previous podcast about hydration. That's technically anti-diet going on too, but
That's like a good
what? Yeah, that's like a great practice
and
to
there are
have
people
too.
who do promote intentional weight loss or dieting while also saying that they're food freedom, anti-diet, things like that. So I just, you know, and just the fact that they're equating when they use the word most of the influencers, right, of the 68. 68 is not a lot of people.
Also, most is 40%.
Yeah,
Like, let's
exactly.
not, let's, that's not even half. That's not,
Exactly. So we're talking
wait.
about 30 people. Maybe.
That's like, what? Yeah, we're doing like mental math here,
Yeah, and they're
right?
saying that they were also paid to promote food, beverages, and supplement from, these companies. And like, the thing is that it's again shitting on dietitians when originally this article opens up with nothing to do with a dietitian and had nothing to do with health at every size, because if they actually read the article, if they read the website of what the association deems as part of the framework of health at every size, it doesn't even talk about that stuff. It's saying, like, regardless of the size of your body, you should be able to get medical care. You should be able to move your body without being, treated like crap by people at the gym. That's literally what it's saying, like getting basic standards. And if anyone has listened to the episode before this with Angel, we talk, she does so much
Oh,
work.
love.
I love her so much. Oh
Love,
my God. It
love.
was
I
a
know. We like instantly know. I like instantly know who you're talking about. I'm like,
She's
yes.
amazing. And she
Amazing.
talks about, her and I both talked about how it's literally life or death for fat people to have access to adequate, nutrition, be taken seriously in the doctor's office, being able to move your body without shame, having clothes to fit your body so that you can work out.
Yeah,
And
or
so
that you could go get a job, or you could go, out in public to go grab groceries, or
yeah.
you can, live your day-to-day life. That's not just the easiest thing going
Yeah.
on, too.
100%. And then it's
Sorry, I
like,
didn't mean to like
no,
go
you're,
in on
thank
that. I'm
you.
just
I
like,
appreciate
what?
it.
No.
Talk over me, please.
I
And then it goes on, since the 1980s, the US obesity rate has more than doubled, according to the federal data. Nearly 500,000 Americans die each year as a result of excess body weight, according to estimates, which I haven't read this study. It was from 2022. But like, again, it's part of the issue with a lot of the health and nutrition research is that they're putting all fat people in the same category. Meanwhile, you could have heart disease in a smaller size body. You can have liver disease in a smaller size body. You could have kidney issues in a smaller size body. You could have uncontrolled diabetes in a smaller size body. It's not just fat people.
No, I think that is so, like, I remember reading some of these things, like, whenever I was like growing up in school, where I remember this one part very specific where they said, like, this is the first generation that's not going to outlive their parents
No
due to
offense, no one wants
obesity.
to stay here.
It was like reality check, the world is crumbling. But I
But the average living age is higher than what it used to be, isn't it?
it's so yeah so but I remember reading that, or
Yeah.
like getting that read to me also in my middle school, and I'm like, oh my God, this is terrifying. And it's like
It's because
not
of Cocoa
accurate.
Puffs. It's because of General
It's because
Mills.
General Mills did this. But whenever I think about this too, I'm like, a box of General Mills is like what, like 250 going on too? And that is breakfast for a few days going on too. Whenever I think of lemons, and I swear I'm not thinking about like a lemon dietitian going on here too. But I mean,
Is there a
like
lemon
whenever I think
dietitian?
about that, I don't know, probably.
Maybe. I've seen
But
people
maybe.
paid by companies for like avocados and stuff like that to make recipes, which I think is freaking cool.
I think that's amazing. I know somebody who's doing something like that, and I'm just like, she's killing it right now too. So good
That's
for her.
so cool. Yeah.
But I think that to me, it's also like this zone of how like that's not going to be able to support me, right? That lemon. I could get three lemons and that'd be 250, right? So we're going to hate on people who are trying to have breakfast
Well,
too.
here's the thing.
Like,
You know,
it's
things in this
awful.
country cost a lot of money. I know this idea of like inflation is high, but people are making the same as they were in like 1990. Like there's not there hasn't been huge raises. Like we're expected to be able to like maintain the same type of lifestyle when things were so much cheaper back in the day. So when we talk about access to food, and how people don't have access to food because it's so expensive. If you have to feed your kids and all you can afford are General Mills cereals, what are you supposed to do?
Not feed them.
Like,
No.
oh yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, not feed
Yeah.
them.
Come
Like,
on. Yeah.
it's just so
No.
stupid. And so really, I've learned throughout my years that, we have people writing this article that don't know what they're talking about, like you said. I just think it's really unfortunate that they are equating like at least 10 registered dietitians, right? 10 out of
Oh my
billions
God.
of people on social media, billions of people on social media promote
I could list
general.
off like 30 dietitians that I know just from memory right now. So like to think about like a
And
sampling of 10, I'm just like, wow, that's like
exactly.
real small going on here.
And they're
That's real
showing
small.
off personalized Cheerio boxes in adorned with their name. I want a Cheerio box with my. I don't even like
That
Cheerios.
sounds a I love
That
Cheerios,
sounds
Honey Nut
so.
Cheerios specifically.
I honestly haven't
That's
had them in years. Maybe I need to give them a try.
yeah, that's
And
what
then
we're
the.
taking out of this article is like maybe I should get General Mills another maybe I should get some cereal
This
like
is. They go on to the first to mention the first dietitian, Kara Harbstreet,
oh
very well known.
yeah, he's great.
She's amazing, but they're using her as an example, that she's promoted the company's Big G cereals, which include sugary brands such as Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cocoa Puffs, and Trix. So again, I want to know what this has to do with the original lady at the beginning of this post, because she
It
talks about
does.
eating Nutella and cupcakes. So I don't know how we made it to the cereal situation.
Also, like, what I'm looking at, like, yeah,
And
like the trail of events going on here, and it's ridiculous.
she's making
What is that?
Cheerios, right? She's showing
Well, she
her.
put some blueberries in
Yeah,
there.
she put in blueberries with bananas. And blueberries and slivered
That's
almonds.
a
Look how
beautiful
great this is. We're
post.
watching
Yeah,
it
like
together
how
with the
dare she
slivered
create
almonds and
amazing
milk.
breakfast? Good for her. Good for her. Like, and I also think I'm like, okay, so you added a fiber component in here. You added a protein component with the
Because
milk. You
she's a
added
good dietitian.
fat source with the almonds, and then you have your carb source with the Cheerios going on too. Like, why are we doing
I
that?
don't
Like,
know.
why are we
And then
judging?
they do go on to say that Harbstreet said in an email that she was no longer actively partnering with General Mills. But again, why did they even need to mention it?
Also, why not? Like, I mean,
Yeah,
like
no, not that
why?
it's doing anything wrong, but they're insinuating
Yeah.
like we're pushing a medication on people that has no long-term research for intentional weight loss.
No.
That's where this article should be talking about.
I think, yeah, that will we're pulling at straws if we think that that article is going to say something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that to me, it's just this zone of like, why are we here, right? Like, once again, are we like angry at the dietitians that are promoting fruits and veggies? Are we angry at the people that are giving us advice in other ways? And they also talk about, whenever you were talking earlier, and this is just kind of sticking in my
Yeah,
brain,
what
and
did I
I have
say?
to go back to it. It's like there's a statistic there where, like, you know, people are dying from obesity or something, that
Yeah.
quote that you had said. Are we not talking about how eating disorders are also like a second, like the second most common comorbid disease out there too for mental health? And that was only recently surpassed by opioids in the pandemic. Like, we got some things that we got to work out with, like food going on here
Yeah.
too. Like, let's talk about that as well. Like, I think about that article that I read in middle school, where
Yeah,
it's
and it stuck with
fear-mongering.
me.
And it stuck with me to this day. And I'm just like, oh my God, like, where are we going with this, like, fear mongering of sugar? Which sugar is just a carbohydrate going on, too. Why are we scared of a carbohydrate happening here? Why are we scared? We shouldn't be.
It's insane. They then go on to say Harbstreet, the anti-diet dietitian who touted cereals for General Mills, also posted ads for low-calorie sweetener Truvia, Barilla Pasta, and a whipped cake icing brand known by Rich Foods, owned by Rich Foods, which I'm like, it's just so insane that they're just equating all these different things with this woman who got information off of YouTube
Yeah, you're
from
so
not
right. You're
dietitians.
so right. To be honest, I kind of forget that that's like the beginning of this article because
You
it's so
think?
like, how are they interconnected right now? It just
Yeah.
doesn't make sense. I don't
And it's
know.
like, you know what the craziest thing is? There's nothing wrong if you are someone who is fat.
No.
I have been fat my whole life. I never ate cereal in my like I, my mom purposely didn't give me those cereals because she thought that they weren't good for me. So they're making it sound like these people are like consuming kilograms and boatloads of this cereal, and that they're making it as if it is a cause and effect relationship, that these dietitians are getting paid by these brands to what? Make recipes? Like,
Also, it's not just General Mills that they're trying to equate it to. They're also trying to equate it
Ivanka,
to like the
Larissa's Kitchen.
yeah, like the also like the cupcakes and Nutella in the beginning of this too, right? And it's like nobody just eats that too, right? Like nobody
Well,
just eats one type of food, and that's what they're alluding to here, is that it's one.
and I feel like, you know, if they really believe this concept that dietitians are doing harm, I would argue that celebrities with like hundreds of millions of followers promoting, you know, flat tummy tea, that is more concerning. Whereas you're shitting on 10 dietitians
Oh my gosh.
with a
The
sample size of
sampling.
68 or 64 or something like that.
The sample sizes that we're working with just really just reflect back like why we don't need to, why this
Yeah.
article is problematic. But I think it's just like this zone of like, as a society, we are so incredibly fat phobic that we're willing to say like, oh, how could we promote sugar, right? Like, how
Yeah.
dare us, you know? Like, whenever really, in actuality, we're such a sick country because of the amount of eating disorders that I see on a day-to-day basis. I'm like, wow, society has really messed us up in these things too. And
Yeah.
it's so sickening to me that this is where we've gotten, and this is the fat phobia that we're experiencing, and this is how we're experiencing it too, is that like, we're willing to shit on these dietitians for like getting paid to make recipes when in actuality, we are a country that has such a fucked up relationship with food that we are making ourselves incredibly sick too.
100 million
Incredibly.
percent. And I think, you know, that's the part that people don't get, right? Like, we don't, as like weight inclusive anti-diet people, dietitians, we want you to feel comfortable around food. And on your journey to healing your relationship with food, there may be a point in time, however long that might be, is going to depend on the individual person, where they are eating a lot more of these quote unquote like low density, like low nutrition density foods. But the idea is that you've had so many years of restriction that it's like you have to get your body used to feeling safe eating them. And then once you like start to let yourself eat those things, oftentimes those are going to be the foods that you're going to go to. But then you get to a place where you're like, okay, you know what? Like, this doesn't actually make me feel that good. I want to, I'm hungry every hour or so. Maybe we need to talk about the nutrient composition or the macronutrient composition of your meals. And that's when we start to add in gentle nutrition. But if you are actively restricting, actively engaging in disordered eating or eating disorder related behaviors, I'm not going to start telling you to eat more fucking vegetables. Like,
And it's also counteractive for your GI system at that point too. That's probably not going to feel very good on your GI. And I think it's that zone too of like what you're talking about, which is like such a common misconstrued thought process, is that anti-diet doesn't mean anti-health going on too, right? Or like anti-care. Eleni's like head is shaking up and down. Yes.
I wish I could eat more than I am now, but you're
We have the
100% right.
concussion.
I
We have the
do. That's why
concussion.
I'm crazy right
But
now.
I think it's just like, as a dietitian, I don't want people to just like not eat certain food categories too, right? Like, I want you to have carbohydrates in grain form. I want you to have carbohydrates in veggie slash fruit forms going on too. And I want you to have protein, and I want you to have fat, and I want you to have a good calcium source going on too. I want all of these things for you. But how you get there or the level to where you get there, we can take years to make that happen, you know? Like, and sometimes we need that amount of time. But also, like, do you, like having Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which, as disclosure, one of my favorite cereals, is it's a good one. And to have that cereal, like, we got a good carbohydrate source, grain source going on here too. We just need to add things like what Kara Harbstreet did too, which great dietitian, you know. We have to add things to that to make that a little bit more sustaining for us if that's what we want. If we want to be hungry in an hour or two, then okay, let's just have the cereal going
And when
on.
it comes down to it, right, if we're so concerned about how many calories people are eating, a cup of these cereals is roughly 200 calories, give or take. That's not a lot of
Yeah,
calories. So
it's
if we
not.
really want to talk about, oh my God, these cereals are making everyone fat and sick, and obviously I'm saying that jokingly, it doesn't even make sense when you like really put it down to like, you know, like it's just insane to me. And you're right. Obviously, if that's what you want to eat for breakfast, that's great. For most people, that's not going to keep them full for a long time. And if you're someone who has prediabetes, diabetes, PCOS, or struggles with hypoglycemia, you could benefit from adding other things such as protein and fiber to help make your blood sugars more stable. And I am saying that as someone who doesn't care what the number on the scale is. I don't care, you know, what your BMI is. And so I think that's just like one of the shitty points that people are shitting on health at every size and weight inclusivity is because we're not saying we don't care about your health. We're just saying right now, if you're struggling with your relationship with food and your body image and you're engaging in certain behaviors that are harmful, maybe we need to put the idea of trying to, you know, try to improve your health, right? Because like even if you and intentional behaviors doesn't mean that you're going to result in a change. Like I,
Agreed.
yeah.
I think it's one of those zones of like, it's allowing yourself to have these foods, but then like at one point, allowing yourself to have these foods in conjunction with how you're feeling in conjunction with other foods in that too, right? So if you're having, or if you can only afford cereal also, which is also like another thing that they're not talking about as much too,
They
is
haven't
that like,
one time.
yeah, they haven't mentioned that at all, right? That if like cereal and milk for people that either don't like to have a lot of breakfast in the morning just because they like feel too full or their hunger and fullness cues are a little out of whack in the morning, at least they're having something too.
Exactly.
So like, why are we also shitting on people that like can't either afford like, you know, some big fancy breakfast going on with a private chef, you know, or like, why are we also like shitting on people that also like that's what they have for breakfast because it just feels better on their like hunger and fullness cues too.
Yeah,
Like, it just
100%.
not resonating.
So then going to quote Senator Blumenthal, who I
Oh no.
generally approve of. Well, he's like a pretty okay senator, but again, he's been in the
Okay.
Senate for 1,000 years, so he needs to retire, go home. And I do agree that this level of lobbying for in the government by big companies, whether it's General Mills or Apple or whatever, like I think that's an issue. And again, if it's impacting legislation from to encourage certain legislation for being passed, including things like federal funding for school food programs, and a lot of the data is being used based off of companies that are self-funding these studies, that's an issue. But again, what does that have to do with this woman at the beginning of this article? I'm just
So,
bringing
and
it back.
also, why anti-diet too? It's like we're like focusing on so many different things in this article too, that it's like why are they all interconnected into one like kind of sloppy article
Yeah.
going on here?
Like, I am
But
not an
yeah.
editor for any publication, but if someone brought me this article, I would say, can you guys pick one part of this article and then do your research and then write it?
Yeah, you're gonna get the Washington Post to like kind of listen to this, and then they'll be like,
That would be
"What?"
so cool.
You're like welcoming it. You're like, "Hello."
I would like not be able to quote me because every other word would be inappropriate.
Well, Let's keep it going then. I'm just
Oh, they
kidding.
quote an angel in this article.
Oh,
The
did they?
wide appeal of health at every size online allows it to be commercialized, said Angel Austin, interim executive director for the Hays Association. You have a lot of privileged people talking about health at every size, unfortunately, because it's profitable, which is true,
That is true.
which is very true. And I do think this concept of intuitive eating has been very whiteified, if the word, I don't even think that's a word, but I talk about it all the
Or
time.
making it one.
And white people take over everything. And I say this as a white person because I think it's important to talk about how the fact that this field is very white. And
And
it
it's important for us to know why it's so white, though, too, right? Because it's going back to, I can't remember if you said this in this episode or a previous episode that we were on together, but you were talking about how being a dietitian, you have to have like essentially give free labor to
Yeah.
your like for your internship too. Not many people can afford free labor as well. Usually people that can afford it are people that are privileged, that are people most likely that are white going on too. And like I just want to feed people, and like help people. That tends to be like also like a privileged state too, because it's not that I need to like 100% make money to, take care of this person or do
Yeah.
this or be a part of this, right? Or I can afford to be, in debt to some degree too, or I have certain things set up for myself to where this would be more okay, right? And I think that that is such an issue as well, right? Like this is a white dominated field, and it is a field that needs to change. There's Diversified Dietetics that I want to give a shout out to that I follow on Instagram, because I think that is so such a cool organization going on too, because we need people like that. But with the new master's requirement going on too, we're just going
Even
to see
further.
That like go down, unfortunately,
Yeah.
is my spiel on this, which is very different from this article that we're
Yeah.
talking
No,
about. And
100. No, but it's true. And it all falls under the same concept. Like it all plays a part of the bigger picture here. But you made all very, very good points. Then they quote this guy, Kevin C. Klatt. I'm gonna go look him up and see who he is. He's a registered dietitian and research scientist and instructor at the University of California at Berkeley. He says anti-diet advocates who deny the connection between excess body fat and chronic disease have made up stuff that is a fantasy and a total fairy tale. And
Oh.
you and I talked about this before. No one is saying there is zero correlation. That means zero, none, between body size and any other type of disease. We're just saying that it's not a causation, which means that every single person who weighs this amount of weight or who has this BMI is automatically going to end up with this health outcome. And that's what we're saying. We're saying that clearly being focused on fucking weight for since 1980, which they so, talked about the rise in obesity and this and that, clearly this obsession has not gotten us anywhere towards better health.
No, it hasn't. And also to kind of like think about where these studies are coming from too, because if he's quoting studies with me, I will quote some studies back to him, right? Where he's saying like that the research doesn't show it. Well, the research also doesn't focus in on people in larger bodies either. The research
Well,
also doesn't focus in on, I
he's
don't
a
know
white
this
man, so
person.
I wasn't surprised.
Oh. Okay. Well,
I just
who shocked here? But I think it's that zone of how like this is not like the research isn't funneled in a way to kind of make it so that the rhetoric is
Yeah.
geared towards any body positivity going on too, or people in larger bodies can catch a break, right? Because
Yeah.
the things that they can do is they can sell you products, that
Yeah.
will make your body smaller, and that's what they're how they can get money off of you too.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about funding for things too, I'd be like, well, let's talk about how lack of funding is there as well. And that was actually at a conference in Austin where I met Angel. Well, semi met Angel. She was
That's
on a video. Oh my God, she's amazing.
I feel really sad that I didn't go that year. And a lot of people were like, wait, I thought you were going. And I was like, no. I said it would be nice to go.
It's yeah, but I think that to me though too, like that was so impactful because we had a person from that came in to kind of give us a little bit more of the rhetoric of like how much research is actually done for people in larger bodies too. And I can't quote things because my brain is mush, but I mean like the disparities that are there too. I'm just like, how can we classify any kind of research based off of research that we currently have if
We
we're
can't.
eliminating certain
That's like
groups?
part
We
of the point,
can't.
which
We
is the crazy
can't.
part, which is insane when you realize that every single study that we've ever read and most of the studies that we are continuing to read now are so skewed that it leaves out whole populations of people. And I think I talked about this on another episode, but when I was doing, I did a systematic review for my master's thesis where I looked at every single research study that looked at interventions, whether it was medical, with or without diet interventions for managing PCOS. And the results of my systematic review that looked back, I think it was like 25 years, was that we need more research. And it's because of the fact that they were so obsessed with looking at the weight aspect that they should have focused more on like
Symptoms.
hormonal, or not that they didn't look at any lab values, but like the obsession was like weight change.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Like, I'm just like, sometimes I look at some of this stuff and I just feel so bored with it. I'm like, can we like just step away from the scale for a second too? Give me something that is actually tangible that I can leave this study knowing, you know? And I know that we started off talking about this article and then like, we just went like, in a
No,
different field.
I hope you guys are enjoying this ride with us.
Yeah, we're on a journey. Come with us. I think it's this zone of how we have so many things wrong with it too, that I feel like if everyone knew how much wrong things we had, would they put as much validity into what they're reading too? And that's part of why I really enjoy like podcasts like these too, right? Where it's like, let's start talking about why this is happening, or like what the perception is, and why that perception is wrong, and why it's skewed in a different way too. Because it's coming from a fat phobic lens, it's coming from a racist lens, sexist lens going on too. A lot of like PCOS studies, I mean, you know this way better than I do, Eleni, they were conducted by a lot of men going on too, right? So it's like this zone of like, you know, women can't even get like a woman researcher going on here too. Like, I'm just like flabbergasted, right? I'm flabbergasted that this is like what our whole profession is based off of. And then to get criticized for it really just kind of burst my bubble a little bit too. Get not just criticized for it, but like criticized in a way that it's like they had to pull at straws to be like, oh my gosh, look, like big companies are funding these underpaid dietitians going on too. It's like, oh my God,
Yeah, we're the real
get out
problem
of
in
here.
the world right
Yeah,
now.
we're it. Yeah,
The
it's
article
us.
then goes on to tie it back into our original lady who
Oh.
she believed that restricting food in any fashion would put her health in danger, which again,
Great for
then
her
she
to
talks
come
about
to.
listening to mental hunger meant that if she was thinking about a food, she should eat it. Which again, this is all very like, I don't know where she got this information from.
Okay, that's not very like health at every
No.
spicy
No, I don't know where she.
or anti-diety.
No, no one says that.
No.
And then it says She quotes, "Your relationship with food would just get magically healed if you just ate the donuts and ate the cookies and weren't afraid of what you were eating."
Just healing. You know what?
Magically.
That's what I'm gonna recommend to all of my clients is I'm
Magically.
like, listen, there's a magic sauce here.
Laura,
There's
where
a
is your
magic, there's a
wand?
wand.
Where is your wand? Okay.
Honestly, if that was the magic sauce, like you and I would not have a job anymore.
Exactly.
We would not be meeting with clients on the weekly basis. Like we would just tell people, eat cookies and this and
And
this,
your partner.
and I never have to see you ever again. Right? Like, but that's not how that is.
I have patients that are very deeply in their eating disorder that I see 3 times a week. So, I know we're joking about it, and we're not making fun of this woman. I feel
Yeah, we're not.
terribly that she did not work with a dietitian who knew what they were talking about. She got a lot of information off of social media. And the fact that she really thought that that was the way that she was going to solve her relationship with food is very unfortunate. But again, they're quoting her saying these things and then combining it with dietitians who don't promote intentional weight loss, and it's giving us a bad rap.
Yeah, you're right, Eleni. It's not this person. It's not her. It's and also we don't know because we weren't in the interview exactly what was said too. So they're in quotation marks, which I think that like legally they have to put exactly what they said in quotation
And they
marks
put like
too.
half sentences.
Exactly. So we don't know the full story from this person too. You know, she also could have worked with a dietitian, but also maybe like there were just some struggles around it, you know, going on too. Or maybe, you know, she's like, if she t says that like restriction is detrimental to her health, like, yeah, right? Like that is. And like thinking about that too, it's like, we don't know much about this woman, but we also know that this story was so poorly written without research going on too, that the Washington Post around this, like, it's just not good. It's not good. We need to do a follow-up. And also Kara Harbstreet is great, you know, like just it's all these things going on too that it's like they're picking a battle that they weren't equipped for. They didn't understand, you
They
know.
then go on to quote Jacob May, a dietitian from Pennington Biomedical Research Center. And he basically said the woman's story is not unique. He said some of his clients have gained as much as 60 pounds in 6 months while working with anti-diet dietitians. I cannot speak for every single dietitian, and I don't have any of my patients weighing themselves, but I have never had a patient gain a significant amount of weight from
I
this.
have.
Well,
I have, but
I mean, in terms of like she started off, this individual clearly started off already at a higher weight. And then like equating, just like lumping it together. I mean, obviously, if someone is very undernourished, regardless of your weight status, you're going to gain the weight. But for them, equating that, giving up dieting is going to equal 60 pounds of weight gain or 50 pounds of weight gain, like a bit of a problem.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball. I often joke that like Jeff Bezos has them, you know, in his cellar, right? Like, but I think it's like this zone of like, you know, I've had clients that have lost and gained weight and all of this stuff too. So I can't tell you if I've had somebody specifically with this example in 6 months, but I can say that like, yeah, that's like a part of the journey a little bit too, is like that we don't actually know. And I don't think that like that weight is like the main factor again, right? Like it's like that's not, we don't know anything about person that gained 60 pounds. We don't know anything about the person really that gained 50 pounds from this article. We just don't know. We don't have that information. And so for us to say like, you know, like 100% like all of these things, it's kind of, it's hard, you know, like that would be a hard thing to say because we just don't have what we need to kind of adequately say something with these clients
Yeah.
too. Because like they could also be engaging in restriction binge cycles throughout this too. And yeah, that weight gain comes with that sometimes too. Or they could be engaging in, I don't know, like other like purging activities, chewing and spitting. Like we
Yeah.
don't know.
You're right. I just think that quoting someone as a dietitian and saying that, like, all the people that he knows that did this gained 60 pounds is just not.
Ridiculous. That's
Yeah.
ridiculous. Yeah. That's to make generalities. That's not a word. I'm making
Generalization.
words. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
To make generalizations like that is just
It's just very
not
harmful. And again,
harmful.
equating it to a dietitian using Cheerios in a post on how to balance out your meal, I don't see how it's related to this. And I think that they're using statistics in a way that makes it sound really bad and scary, right? Like 40, at least 40% of dietitians, blah, blah, blah. Like, but like you're talking about a, like 68 different people. So 40% of that is like not a lot. And so it's just, you know, and then this is like part of my issue with how they give dietitians like a bad name. It's so annoying.
It's really annoying, and it's like we're already fighting against so much, right? Like, please give us like throw us a bone here, because like we are fighting against like the world of dieting, right? And dieting, like, let's talk about how harmful diets are, right? Like, to be so restrictive, like, let's talk more about that stuff as opposed to saying that somebody that doesn't believe that you should go into such a large restrictive pattern to kind of damage your body, your metabolism, your social life, your like family, like all these things going on too, right? Like, let's talk about how damaging that stuff is too, and how harmful that stuff is. That somebody that comes to the idea where we're just like, no, let's be more inclusive with food, let's do it, and it's like, oh no, nope, how dare us,
It's so messed
Wild.
up.
Yeah, agreed.
Do we have any other contributions to this episode?
We could probably talk for days
We
about
could.
things, but no, I feel like we did some justice here. I feel like we did some
I think so
justice.
too. I appreciate your insight and your opinion because sometimes, like, you know, it could feel very lonely being on the opposite end
Yeah.
of this world and fighting against like weight stigma and things like that. And especially, you know, with this weight loss medication, which again, I have a whole episode on why I don't think or I don't think or think I don't not think or think you should or shouldn't go on this medication. I don't care what people do. Like that's your own decision. I just don't think that people are given the full information. And they're it's being touted as a miracle cure, magic wand type thing. And it's much more complicated than that. And so when you're someone who struggles with how with feeling good in your body, right? Whether it's like you feel like you should lose 10 pounds or 100 pounds, it sucks. And to be validated by society by saying, like, yeah, you know what? Like you're not good enough in this body. You have to shrink your
Change
body.
it.
I
Yeah.
totally get why people are going to read this message and read this headline and say, "Yeah, you're right. I was confused. I shouldn't have done that." And that kind of is like what of the death of like the quote unquote body positivity movement on social media is that now a lot of people are going back on what they were promoting beforehand because now they're going on this medication. And they're losing weight and they're changing their tune,
Yeah.
and now they're shitting on people who don't want to intentionally lose weight. And, you know, it's become a very big problem for people who live in larger size bodies to feel safe.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
it all is kind of tied into one. So if you're someone who's struggling right now, I can understand how it could feel very overwhelming and very lonely. But just know that like there are people out here like us who
Yes.
are here for you. That's really why I do this podcast, and especially like during the holiday season when I release like an episode every other day in December, it's because of all the diet messaging and people feel really
Yep.
alone and it sucks. And I know what that feels like. So I just want people to know like they're not alone. And it's like, okay, even if you've accepted the fact that you don't think in losing weight intentionally is going to be good for you, I could understand how you still want to.
Well, I oh, any like yes. I don't know, like I don't know if I have much more to add to that because it was beautifully said, but it's just that zone of like how this work can feel very isolating. And you know, there's something that I think about often where I'm like, I can't unlearn the things that I've learned. I see how like harmful messages like this impact people. You know, I see how the research is like skewed to an unfortunate disadvantage for so many people. I see how like different people are treated in society. I see all of these things. And I'm just like, I can't unsee this work anymore, too. And it would be, it feels negligent to kind of just go through it and just like be accepting at this point, too, without having conversations like this podcast, right? Like, you know, which I am so grateful that you said, yeah, let's come on, and that
I'm
we are
so
doing these
happy that you're
episodes.
coming.
Yes, yeah, me too. And I feel like it's kind of some of these things that like it feels lonely for our clients, but it also feels lonely for the people that are also advocates around it too. So I'm happy that we are connecting and kind
Me
of
too.
voicing what's going on here too.
Laura, thank you so much for coming on for two whole episodes. I hope you'll come back and we could talk about more stuff.
Oh my God, I would love it. Let's do it,
We'll
Eleni. Let's
plan
do
it.
it. Yes. Thank you so much for having me because it was so much fun. And 2 hours, did it really go by? Oh my God, almost three. Oh no. That's gonna be that's a long time. I'm like, where did
Well,
the day go?
everyone, please go and give Laura a follow on social media. All of her info, her social media handles will be listed in the show notes. Thank you, Laura. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see you guys in the next episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much, Laura, for recording this episode. You guys can find her on Instagram at Nourish Others. Everything is listed in the show notes, so you can head there for the links. And I will see you guys in the next episode.